Hey, this interview with Robert Brill of Brill Media Company was fantastic. One, it's another interview where I got to speak with another professional, marketing professional, and he specializes in buying the actual ad space. So you have the creative side of advertising, then you have the media side of advertising, which is buying the ad space. It took Robert a while to be able to figure out what he was great at. He had to go through a lot of trial and error. So I love the fact that he was honest and transparent in that. So there's a lot of gems in here. And as always, you can support, if you want to, this platform. Make a donation via Cash App. That's $ Andreas Cook, A-N-D-R-E-A-S-C-O-O-K-E. And it has the BMG logo for the Cash App. Or you can hit me up, bank.radioshow@gmail.com. I can send over an invoice and then, you know, you can make your donation that way. I appreciate all y'all for listening in and tuning into these episodes. We've got more to drop along the way, and enjoy this episode.
Partying. I partied plenty. I didn't spend as much time partying. And I got all these cool jobs. I worked at Universal Studios while, you know, working, doing food service. I worked at Cold Stone Creamery. I did outreach for the school.
The revenue, right? Much like in a startup.
Yes, man. And let's get some of our old soldiers back out.
Musicians to be professional. They know how to talk.
To help them wake up happy. It's not about a rectangle and a price.
Hi, y'all. We're tuning in for another episode of Bank That Radio Show. I am your host, and I have another interview being brought to you by Podmatch. I've been loving this service, by the way. So if anybody out there y'all want the Podmatch link, I'll send it to you. But we have Robert Brill, who has Brill Media. Robert has been working in the advertising industry for 20 years or more. He is the CEO of Brill Media, a digital advertising agency for scalable business growth. The company has been honored 10 times across Inc. 5000, Inc. 5000, and Financial Times 500. So, Robert, that's amazing to be able to be honored 10 times like that. I'm like, I don't know if I've seen that many businesses, be able to do that. And then I love the fact that you have bootstrapped your business. You went from zero to multiple millions in revenue. Yeah. So definitely a lot to talk about. And then, you know, with the mindset of people and stuff. So Robert, let's dive right into it. You started your business 10 years after you had worked for a previous business, correct?
Yeah. I started in marketing and advertising in 2003, working for Universal Music. We were doing social, it was called guerrilla marketing, but it was really social marketing, but it was before social was a thing. Yeah. So we'd be going in groups and forums and, like, you know, creating a persona and then dropping, you know, I'm working on this great Hoopa Stank album. The reason it's the best, you know, like that type of thing. Then my first agency job was Universal McCann, no relation to Universal Music, working on Sony Pictures. And then went on to another agency working on Disney movies, and then worked on Sony and Disney games, and then Toshiba, Bacardi, PetSmart, Northrop Grumman, some other big brands.
Yeah.
And I learned, you know, we live in this time of, like, entrepreneurship and how everyone wants to skip college or skip, you know, spending time in a career. And, you know, leave it to your parents to keep it real. I got out of college and I was like, hey guys, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. And they're like, but you don't know anything. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going back to work now. So 10 years on, I kept it in the back of my brain. Okay, this is how business works. And this is how the advertising business works. And I really wanted to do advertising. That was my goal. I didn't just by happenstance fall into it. It was specific. And 2013, I launched my business, and yeah, you know, we're when we talk about advertising, you know, there's two types of work. There's the creative work, and then there's the media buying work. And media buying really just means serving up ads on Meta on Instagram, mm-hmm. on TikTok, Google, etc., Hulu, yeah. with the goal of getting people to buy stuff. Mm-hmm. We're priming them to buy stuff along the way. And our job is to use data, targeting, and technology and to ensure that we're reaching the right people at the right time. So not mm-hmm. to overcomplicate it, but it's just advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do. And, you know, we have a great team, really senior people. And that makes a big difference, right? We sell against a lot of agencies who hire kids out of college, which is great. No problem, except they don't have experience.
Yes.
They don't know the questions to answer before you mm-hmm. have them. And our people do. And so we've developed a great team and, you know, many lessons along the way. And, you know, our goal for this year is to cultivate relationships with new agencies and to grow from the bottom up new agencies. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of our mission right now.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that as far as the, like you said, the kids out of college getting hired, but they don't have the experience, don't know the right questions. I went down that same path. I went to school, got a degree, business concentration in marketing.
Yeah.
Took all the marketing courses, they had like 8 or 9 of them. I'm all gung ho and stuff like that. Like I'm about to go jump into advertising and stuff like that. And I'm doing interviews and I didn't get no callbacks. I was like, oh, okay, what's going on here? I had the knowledge as far as, you know, principles of marketing, all that stuff, or whatever, consumer behavior, salesmanship, all that, market research. Sure. But I did not have the experience. And, you know, I understand why now I wasn't, you know, a viable candidate. Because it takes practice. Yeah.
You know, it's luck. I you know, not to say that I was any better or any worse than anyone else. You know, what was lucky was... I'll tell you the one thing that I think people can control
mm-hmm.
that makes a massive difference in the type of jobs you get out of college. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was lucky was I had this job at Universal Music mm-hmm. that structurally, operationally was very similar to the job I got at Universal McCann
mm-hmm.
working on Sony Pictures. It was like compile reports, do certain repetitive tasks and move forward. And what I did at Universal Music was about the same thing, a different mm-hmm. type of task, but the structure was the same. The only thing you can control, and I firmly believe this, is the following. Working during college accelerates your career by 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. You know, growing up, you know, my parents, my grandma actually funded my education,
mm-hmm.
gave a loan to my mom, and eventually I got to school. I went to Cal State Northridge out here, you know, a good school, far better than I think the reputation is. Although the reputation is great, but it's not like, it doesn't have the same cachet as like a USC or a UCLA, right?
Yeah.
But it's a state school. It's a good mm-hmm. school.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to work all through school. And I, you know, I felt sorry for myself. I couldn't spend as much time partying. I partied plenty. I didn't spend mm-hmm. as much time partying.
Mm-hmm.
And I got all these cool jobs. I worked at Universal Studios working doing food service. I worked at Cold Stone Creamery. I did outreach for the school and mm-hmm. I had some other jobs. And one of the jobs was in advertising. And I was like, oh, I can do this. This is fun for me. And I think that's the biggest value driver because I found the jobs that I didn't want to do. And I found mm-hmm. the jobs that I did enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't work during college,
mm-hmm.
I would have had to figure all that stuff out over the next 4 or 5 years out of college. And so that's, if there's one piece of advice for anyone going to college, it may not seem like the best deal right now to have to work,
mm-hmm.
but if you're enterprising and you're motivated and you have that burning desire to succeed, you know, nice little quote from Napoleon Hill, if you have that burning desire,
mm-hmm.
working during college is controllable. It's a massive impact on how well your career goes.
Yeah, I definitely get that. By the way, I do love your background. So
thank you. My wife designed it.
Hey, she did a fantastic job. I love it.
Thank you.
I just got a boring whiteboard behind me or whatever with numbers and stuff on it.
Nice. Well, at least you have your logo. That's very nice.
So what inspired you then to, like, you know, really turn the wheel? Because I'm like, you could have played it safe, you know, just working at the various jobs and stuff and built your career from that. What made you really want to jump out there and become an entrepreneur? Because
there's one key mm-hmm. insight. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, because in that, not only you're becoming an entrepreneur, but you're also becoming a marketer at a marketing agency, and that's a totally different beast in itself.
100%. That's a very keen insight you have, because that was one of the challenges I faced. I was like, I knew how to do, you know, the practice was called media buying. It still mm-hmm. is. If you look up media buying, it's the act of buying advertising space. There's this nuance to it called programmatic. No one needs to really know that, but it's just the automation. There's a bidding platform. There are auctions to buy advertising space. Mm-hmm. So like when you go to a news site and you see an ad, there's an auction that happens in milliseconds. And the publisher, let's say the local news or sports site, understands who you are, you know, family. I live in Los Angeles. I'm a professional. I don't mm-hmm. play the guitar, but I have two dogs. You know, it understands the mm-hmm. characteristics about me. There's an auction that says basically like, okay, who wants to reach this human being with this particular set of characteristics?
Mm-hmm.
Advertiser that wants to spend the most for that ad impression wins the auction, serves the ad, and then there's information back to the advertiser about, did I click, did I not click, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So that auction dynamic started in around 2010. And I was lucky enough to work for an agency that gave me some opportunity to build out those systems.
Mm-hmm.
But what I learned is that there is no safe. It's not safe. Mm-hmm. There is no safe.
Mm-hmm.
Having a job is not safe.
Yeah.
It's just fundamentally, like, not even hyperbolically. Like, it's just not safe. I mean, right now, as we're recording this, thousands and tens of thousands of people are being laid off in big corporations. Why? Because they overhired during the recession, during the COVID pandemic
mm-hmm.
Upswing in economic activity due to like PPE loans and money given to individuals, or economic stimulus, it's called.
Yeah.
Things were booming, they overhired, and now companies are cutting back.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is safe. And I learned that in 2013, the company I worked for went bankrupt.
Yeah.
I literally thought I was going to retire from them and spend the next decade or two working for them, make some money, and retire.
Mm-hmm.
They went bankrupt. Nothing is safe. And I realized I wouldn't be able to get as good of a job. And good qualifies for me as I make the money I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
I have the type of autonomy I want to make. I am mm-hmm. trusted. I am valued. I have seniority. I mm-hmm. have personal and professional cachet with the people I work with. Like, man, I'm 42 now. I was 30. Mm-hmm. I must have been like 32 then. I'm like, man, I'm too old for this to redo this all over again, because I realize I'm a bad employee. I became so dissatisfied. And actually, I actually took a job after I started my business, but I just wasn't ready to go full into it.
Mm-hmm.
I was a horrible employee.
Mm-hmm.
So bad. There's a certain, so once I realized that I'm a bad employee, this was the only option. If I wanted to work in advertising, this was the only option. There was no other way to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. So you do a lot of social media advertising and stuff, you know, working on TikTok, Meta, and things of that nature.
Yeah.
What do companies get wrong about, like, social media in general, and then what are they getting wrong about Meta advertising?
Yeah. So first thing to say is we are media agnostic. Our business is not here to sell specifically Meta or Google or TikTok or anything.
Mm-hmm.
The very fundamental thing, this answers your question in a roundabout way, but for any business, you start with a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And the strategy identifies what you want to accomplish, your business goals, what you've done in the past, what your transformative value is to your customers, the economics of your business, how much money do you make on transactions, lifetime value, et cetera. What marketing have you done that worked and doesn't work?
Mm-hmm.
And then you work with a company like ours to match all of that information with how to achieve those goals right now with everything that's going on in the marketplace, with the knowledge we have about the mm-hmm. marketplace. So we're media agnostic. If tomorrow everyone, for example, started reading the newspapers, we'd be buying ads in the newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
So what people get wrong about social media is the following. They think it's really easy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think it's easy because you're always on social media. I see mm-hmm. these ads. How hard could it be to put some text and make some images and get the ads out there? And the truth is, it's hard. It's as difficult from an expertise perspective of anyone can do it, but can you get it right is the question.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a mechanic. It's just like a lawyer. It's just like a doctor. It's just like any professional you go to, you wouldn't want to come to me to fix your car because I'll break it. You wouldn't come to me to fix your hip. It'll just be wrong. You want to go to the person who spent their life, their professional life, noodling on how to be better at this one particular thing. Doctors, lawyers, mechanics, etc. And you go to them. Too many business owners, whether they're small businesses, mid-size, or even large, think they can do it in-house because it's so accessible, but don't realize how challenging it actually is to do it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fundamental thing people get wrong. There's no strategy. They just do. Mm-hmm. Why are we running Facebook ads? I don't know, because I read a headline. Now, there's a really good reason to run Facebook ads. 45% of all digital advertising dollars in 2024 will go to Meta and Google. Mm-hmm. So chances are you'll probably have to be on Meta and Google.
Mm-hmm.
But should you be on TikTok or LinkedIn? Should you be buying Hulu or Roku or banner advertising across top news and sports sites? And this is why you pay an expert, both to give you the strategy, which is really your navigation plan of how to activate your goals.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need the team to who will actually do the day-to-day work to ensure you get the goals you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, much more granularly to answer your question, I appreciate you asking, is Meta, the biggest shift happening in Meta is this idea called Performance 5. That's what Meta calls it. And you can Google Performance 5 to get more insight into this.
Mm-hmm.
But the old way of buying advertising on Meta was you target a bunch of ad groups, like 10, 20, 100, whatever it is, all with different keywords and interests and look-alike and remarketing audiences. And you're constantly on that treadmill of creating new ad groups. And boy, it's so much work. And this is why you hire experts, because there's just so much work. The new way of running advertising on Meta is the following. It's a three-step approach. First, you do broad ad targeting. Mm-hmm. Broad means age, gender, and location. Now, location can be the entire United States if you can transact with people across the United States. Or it could be like for a restaurant, a 5-mile radius around your address, because that's how far people will drive to your restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's whatever the broadest age, the broadest gender, and the broadest location can be. That's number one. Number two, a creative testing framework for you to identify your monthly all-star ad. And the result of all that is you are training Meta's machine learning algorithm to find your best customers. So not only are you training the algorithm, which means you'll be able to spend a lot more money profitably on Meta, you are also learning through the creative testing, which offers and discounts, messages, products and services, even which audiences resonate most with your business.
Mm-hmm.
And through that framework, you really have the ability to spend $1,000 this month, $10,000 in a few months, $100,000 a few months after that, and be profitable for the growth of your business, so that then you have need to hire more account people, more customer service. You have other things as your business grows, but it can grow on the power of this training Meta machine learning algorithm to find your best customers. The other thing that's like dramatically wrong in some cases, less and less I see this, but still it pops its ugly head every now and again, is this idea that we are going to compare the results between Meta and Google and Hulu and banners as if they're working against each other.
Mm-hmm.
These channels work together. They are the orchestra components. They're the instruments that create the symphony. They all need to work together effectively to grow a business. You never want to be in a position where, hey, our Facebook ads are doing well, so we're going to turn off Google.
Yeah.
Because Google reaches one type of customer with one type of thinking, and Facebook and Meta reaches another type of people with a different type of organization in their head and what they expect from a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Meta can create demand, And Google will scoop up that demand, and your search engine optimization will be better, and your search ads will be better, and your branded search ads will be better. So the core idea is, a big part of our success is simply working with businesses and giving them the fundamentals that they won't figure out if they're just working with a person from Upwork, or they're not going to figure out if they hire a mid-level marketer as an internal Facebook person, because that Facebook person is using tactics from 2018 and they don't know TikTok that well. And there's no way that they can know Meta and TikTok and Google, as well as our experts who are dedicated to these platforms.
Yeah.
So it's really about executing on the fundamentals that makes business succeed. It's not flashy. It's just the hard work that needs to happen day in and day out.
Exactly. So at this particular juncture in your business, your clientele, is it more based in successful small businesses that need to get to that next level? So maybe they're doing, like, you know, upwards in the hundreds of thousands, or maybe 500,000, whatever the case may be, trying to get to that another, that new level or that next level?
Yeah, so our clients are primarily other agencies that already have a thriving business.
Okay.
So they do creative work. They build the ads. They don't get out of bed for anything under $25,000 for a project, you know, that type of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it grows from there. They know how to build beautiful commercials and write language that inspires and motivates people. Or it's strategy firms. They really understand the technology behind this business, and they advise companies. And as a second part of their offering, they're like, we need to buy the ads. Will you buy the ads? And I work with entrepreneurs that are like, no, I don't want to deal with advertising because I know how to do it. I just don't want to do it. So we're their advertising arm. So that's how a lot of our revenue gets driven. It's being trusted by agencies around the country who want media buying, but know that they can't do it well enough and probably have tried and failed at it. Another component of our business is when we go directly to the advertiser and we get referrals, we run advertising ourselves to generate more business. And so we have clients who on the low end are spending $1,500 a month, all the way up to hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, with the goal of fine-tuning their advertising, growing their business, increasing return on ad spend, driving down customer acquisition cost. The third component of our business, which is new for 2024, is our coaching. It's our agency accelerator program. I'm really passionate. I find myself having the most interesting conversations when I'm talking to other agency owners. I want to compare notes. What are you doing well? What are you not doing well? What can I help you with? I've learned some stuff over the years. How can I give you the information without you having to get take all the pain that came along with it? Let me just give you the insight there. So we have this coaching course where we are working with agencies who are new to the space, but they have that burning desire, or they're 20-year salespeople and they want to just get out of the rat race. They don't, it's not as, they don't want to work for a corporate overlord anymore. They want to be their own boss. They want to have the freedom that I have and many other people have. And they want to work. So they understand the business, but they don't understand how to run an agency.
Yeah.
So our job with that course is to bridge the gap between, hey, I want to have a successful agency and I have a lot of knowledge. I just don't know how to connect the dots. That's what we do with the course and coaching. And it includes probably the, you know, most valuable thing is the group coaching once a week and the ability to talk to me and my team routinely to get their questions answered.
So in building your business and going from like zero to multiple millions in revenue, how quick were you able to do that? Was it over like, you know, 5-year span, 3-year span, 7-year span?
Yeah, I mean, so there's definitely different phases in the business. And I have a few learnings from that. The first phase of my business was lasted for 3 months. And that phase was, I'm going to start a business. The next phase of my business was, holy cow, I'm not ready to start my business. I'm going to take a job.
I love it.
That was exactly what happened. I was like, okay, I'm a horrible employee. I don't like this job. Okay, done with that. So there goes like a year and a half of like thinking and deciding.
Yeah.
The next like 2 years was, okay, now I'm going to be an entrepreneur. Let's figure this out.
Yeah.
I tried everything that I'm not good at just to come to the obvious conclusion that I need to focus on what I'm best at, my zone of genius, and throw everything else out the window. I tried influencer marketing. Mm-hmm. I tried being a social media company. Mm-hmm. I tried being an influencer. I still have an account called Dude Let's Eat on Instagram. I post food photos, like 12,000 people or whatever. I monetize it a little bit, but I was like, I can't make a living off this.
Yeah.
I tried consulting. I was like, I'm going to help people implement these systems. And that was good. I made some money off of it, but I didn't know how to be a consultant, a good consultant. I didn't know how to get more business, et cetera. It was hard. They're like, all right, fine. The thing I know how to do best is that media buying. I know how to buy advertising space. So fine, I'll just deal with all the problems, all the risks, the big risks, the big rewards. So now we're talking about like 4 years into the business where I literally just decided, okay, now I'm going to do the thing I'm the best at. So 4 years of deciding in another way. And then that puts us around 2016, 2017. And that's when the business started to grow. And once I decided that this is where I'm going to do my business and I'm going to deal with all the risks and the big risks and the big rewards, within 2 years, we were $1 million. Within a few years, we did multiple millions of dollars and we stayed steady at multiple millions of dollars and an expanding team and clients who trust us. And so I would say once the decision is made, which is the hard part, deciding to succeed at that thing, there's no way around it. The success has to go through all the problems. 2 years. Because in that 2 year period, I had to figure out product market fit.
Yeah.
Because once I decided what I was going to be when I grow up, I had to say, you know, the challenge is there's corporate media buying, which is, you know, it sounds overly formal. It just means working with really big clients, corporate infrastructure, big agencies, lots of money, tens of millions of dollars in advertising spend and dealing with, you know, different types of ways of working. I was like, great. I know what I'm doing there. I'm a practitioner in that world. I've done it for over a decade at that point.
Yeah.
Or a decade when I started the business, but over a decade when I decided to do, you know, go full all in on this type of model.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so let me go sell. How do I get thousands of dollars in clients? Well, guess what? I got punched in the face figuratively. I was like, I don't know how to sell.
Yeah.
Like, no one cares that I'm smart about programmatic because people don't know what programmatic advertising is. They just care, am I going to get more people in my restaurant?
Yeah.
So I had to like speak the language of the people that I'm selling to. So I learned how to be a salesman. So part of that 2 year period was learning how to be a person that can inspire and motivate people to spend money with me. And then I over-service clients, you know, for $500 a month. And then I, you know, it eventually happened that like my relationships, you know, the saying that your network is your net worth. Our first clients and our longest standing clients have been and continue to be people I have who have grown to know, like, and trust me. Former CEOs I've worked for, former consultants I've worked with, literally people I've worked with like 17 years ago referred me to clients. And all of that, you know, going back to the beginning part with my parents saying, you don't know anything, go to work. There's something incredibly valuable in spending a decade learning a business, becoming a known entity in a market. I was, you know, I lived most of my life in Los Angeles, a year and a half in New York. So I have some contacts in New York, but really LA is my market. Becoming a known entity where I literally went to like Greece one time and I met someone from the advertising industry. I was like, hey, Marilyn, how you doing? Like that type of experience is great for the soul. It makes you feel valued and recognized. It's also great for revenue when you decide to go out on your own.
Yeah.
And it was such a shock that people would spend money with me. I was like, I'm known up at this point. I was known as the guy who runs advertising and I don't return my phone calls because I get bombarded with 25 calls a day that I literally just can't I can't return. Voicemail is full. It's been full for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Right. That's who I was known as because I was so focused on the day to day. I couldn't talk to salespeople as much. Kind of a jerk, kind of a, you know, such and such. I really had to learn this transition, not purposely a jerk, but just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had to learn to transition from being an entrepreneur, from being an employee to being an entrepreneur. That took a couple of years, you know. So
yeah,
all these skills of learning how to sell and taking the risk and mindset around the risk, mm-hmm. incredibly visceral, fun experience that I'm glad I don't have to deal with. I'm dealing with different challenges now.
Yeah. So the mindset around the risk, right? I love entrepreneurship, been doing it since 2005 part-time and went full-time 2013. And, yeah. You know, in my journey, I had left like a good paying job and all that with all these kids and stuff and being a breadwinner in the household. So that was a very interesting, because I went from income went here to next year. It was like a fifth of what I did. But I've been able to build it back up and all that stuff. So, well, we're talking about entrepreneurship and the mindset and you switching that on. Did that change like the people in your circle as well once your mindset switched?
100%. I would say, when I say 100%, I mean to say that insight was unlocked for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you know, up until that point, I was still connecting and working with very smart, talented, motivated individuals.
Mm-hmm.
My circle of people were salespeople, advertising professionals. I was reporting to CEOs of companies.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't hanging around with them, the CEOs of companies, socially. But still, like I learned things from that. But I was hanging out with, you know, my peers in the advertising business. And, you know, what I learned from that is I really have to be very, it has to be a curated group of people that get my attention, because mm-hmm. I don't want naysayers. Not to say that those people were naysayers. I was just more acutely aware. Like if I get bad vibes from anyone, done. Mm-hmm. I'm not hanging out. I can't say that I changed who I hung out with. Like, I have a few good friends, like my best friend in the whole wide world, Anthony, my friends mm-hmm. from college, Tony mm-hmm. and Renard, and some of these people, mm-hmm. really smart, hardworking, and very talented individuals in the music business and the podcast business, mm-hmm. Victor, people I've worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And I just made it a point to spend more time with those people
mm-hmm.
because we could laugh about stupid things we've done in college and how far we've come.
Mm-hmm.
And I just made it a point to get out into the world and meet new and different types of people and seek out peer groups. So, you know, like I'm in a professional peer group right now with other agency owners from across the world. Mm-hmm. I start listening to people, you know, some people that I'm about to mention, are a little bit controversial. Some people love or hate Gary Vaynerchuk, mm-hmm. but I pay attention to him.
Mm-hmm.
Some people really dislike Grant Cardone.
Mm-hmm.
10X, my wife makes fun of me. 10X. Yeah.
love it.
Right? But like, I like hearing the stories of people who are doing big things. I don't have to emulate exactly everything you're doing.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pick and choose one or two ideas.
Mm-hmm.
From a book or an audiobook or something or a podcast that mm-hmm. resonates with me, and I can take that along with me for my journey. So I started to fill my brain with more content about world events,
mm-hmm.
about business, about mm-hmm. advertising, and hearing from entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. not just individuals who are senior within companies.
Yeah. So when you started like building your company and you having to hire people, right, because your sales are picking up and things of that nature, now you need more operational procedures done. How was that for you? Was that like, were there any pain points during that time?
Ridiculously bad. One of the big learnings I have, and one of the things, you know, I talk about this so much, you'd think I sell it, but I don't. I'm really a big fan of standard operating procedure.
Mm-hmm.
That the standard operating procedure is the unlock to growth. It's the unlock to employee happiness. It's the unlock to client happiness and retention. It's the unlock subsequently, because employees are staying with you for so long, tribal knowledge inside the business that just can't be replicated by a new person. They just won't know it. Generating systems and processes that actually work for the business that I don't have to create. And we learned this because in one summer, we went from 2 people to 7 people over the course of like 3-4 months. And as an aside, the learning is I should have hired earlier, but I didn't. And I hired these 5 people in over the course of a summer, and it was a mess. People were dissatisfied. Our internal employees were dissatisfied. They didn't stay. One of them stayed with us for like 6 months and then bounced to another company. Like I hired, you know, so I was like, what is happening with my business? Like, these are smart people. These are talented individuals. Why are they messing up? And one of my good friends, Tony, who I mentioned, Tony Price, he now works for Wondery. He worked for Spotify for a while, and he was our chief operating officer for a while. He got hired because I was like, Tony, hey, I have this problem. I don't even know where to start. It's a complete blur to me. I don't know what's happening. He's like, well, you need a standard operating procedure. People don't know what to do. And so we went to Vegas, all of us. And then over the course of a few days at the pool, we wrote down everything that we do. He wrote the standard operating procedure, he implemented it, and he enforced it. And now we have a really talented chief operating officer. We have systems and processes in place. And now we're going on a sort of like 2.0 version of that to be more specific and deliberate with the way we create standard operating procedures. We create playbooks, et cetera. So just, it wasn't even on my radar. Like I had no idea this was even a thing that people do. So painful. So painful.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. So now where your business is and moving forward, you know, do you want to stay in the realms of where y'all are now, or y'all trying to like, you know, really bump it up and get to like, you know, 9 figures, things of that nature? Well, I mean, not 9 figures, but what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8.
Eight figures. Possibly. The vision that I have for this business is I want people to be happy doing the work that they're doing. I want them to make a good living. I want to make a good living, and I want to be happy with the work that I'm doing. And by the way, if I want to not work from the hours of 4 to 6 one day, because I'm doing Legos with my child, I want to be able to do that and go to Hawaii and go to Universal Studios and go to 40 Dodgers games a year. I want a simple but fancy life. And now the question is fundamentally, could like if a piece of business came into our lap that automatically doubled or tripled our business, could we handle it? Absolutely. Because the standard operating procedure a lot permits that, and we know what we're doing, right? You don't need 10 more people to spend 10 times more money on a campaign. But what I'll say is I have goals that can be achieved. I have goals that can be achieved, and I want to keep myself interested in the business. And the thing that interests me most right now is touching big client campaigns, thinking about strategy, creating a system of delegation and process in our team so I don't have to be involved in the weeds, and growing other agencies with our coaching and course program.
Yeah.
I just love working with agencies.
I love that. Have you thought about like passing on your knowledge, whether it be in like, you know, books or some type of format to where, you know, people would be like, okay, you know, he was able to do that, build this, because you don't get to meet that many people who start at zero and then get to, you know what I'm saying, where you are.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Look, I think one of the things I've been balling around in the back of my head is in fact writing a book. And I think I'm a big fan of putting in the reps. And talking on podcasts, writing in articles, creating content videos on my TikTok, and amplifying that out. And looking for marketplace feedback, what works, what doesn't, what's interesting and what's not interesting, is me putting in the reps. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, to get the language down, as I did when we were trying to figure out our product market fit.
Mm-hmm.
If I do this long enough where I talk about the learnings,
mm-hmm.
and I see the patterns, it would probably be a no-brainer to write some sort of a book that could be relevant for other business owners and agency owners.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have to be the type of thing where it just spills out of me. I can't contain it anymore. And I'm not there yet.
Okay, gotcha. So yeah. You got a little bit more to go. I love it.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. It's a journey. You got to love the journey. And I really enjoy the journey.
Okay. So if there's one thing you could change about, the marketing and advertising world, and you had the power to do so, what would it be?
I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change the dynamics of the industry, because right now the dynamics of the industry are incredibly fortuitous for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm on a mission to espouse the fundamentals to any sort of marketer, big agency, small agency, mm-hmm. big brand, small brand, entrepreneur, mm-hmm. the fundamentals that I talked about. So I'm on a mission to express those ideas so people understand, because frankly it works in our favor. The more a person understands how the business works, the more mm-hmm. they'll value how hard we're working for them, and yes. how far we're keeping them from making dramatic bad investments in advertising.
Yes. Yes.
But I wouldn't change anything, and the reason for that is because I have an unfair advantage. I know things that a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't want things to change, because if everyone knows what I know, then I wouldn't be able to make any money.
Yeah. No, hey, I get that. I definitely get that. Well, Robert, it's been fantastic talking to you. I love it. But I know that you're a busy man. For anyone out there that needs to, get in contact, want to one-on-one consultation, whatever things of that nature, where do they need to go?
Yeah, so our website is brillmedia.co, B as in boy, R-I-L-L, media.co. There will be a link to the course if you're interested in that at the menu, the top. And there's a start now button if you're interested in working with us. It'll ask you to share some information. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, you'll be prompted to schedule a time to talk to me so we can talk about your marketing strategy and how we can help you.
That's what's up. Everybody out there, y'all continue to keep watching these episodes and sharing them and all that stuff. I have all these fantastic guests with all this knowledge and all these jewels that you're getting. But you don't necessarily get this stuff every day. So y'all make sure y'all go out there and support and keep following the social media, bankthatradioshow@gmail.com. And Robert, thank you. I really do
appreciate
it.
Appreciate it.